Blog Talk Radio.
Praise God, praise God. This evening we give God praise on this evening. Hallelujah is the highest praise to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Abba, Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. Give us today daily bread and forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and glory forever. Amen. We thank God for you tonight as we are here on Word Wednesday. Hallelujah. We thank God. He says, study to show yourselves approved, because we will be tested. Jesus was tested and tempted in the wilderness. And you and I, too, will be tested with the word. Hallelujah. That's why we admonish you and we encourage you to read your Bible. Get a study Bible. Try to get a scripture in your spirit every now and again. And we're going to look at that tonight, some scriptures that we're going to go around to. But we like to go to the Old and New Testament just for us to all get familiar, or let me say more familiar with the word of God. Because his word will not come back void. It won't come back empty. It will not come back unfruitful. But God's word will produce. Oh, glory. His word will produce much fruit in your life. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Well, not that. We're talking tonight. I'll tell you my subject and my topic after we pray for God's blessing to be upon tonight. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for Word Wednesday. This Bible study, this midweek service, Lord, we thank you that your spirit is on this line. We thank you, God, it's never going to be by might, by power, but it's by your spirit in the name of Jesus. You said, God, hallelujah, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. So right now we're calling upon the spirit of God to rise up on this prayer line, this Bible study line, and we give you praise in advance for what you're about to do. In the name of Jesus, edify our minds, educate us, encourage us, empower us, edify us, equip us tonight in the name of Jesus so that we can be ready to receive everything that you have for us and that we will manage it, that we will be good stewards over it, that we will bring your name glory through every blessing that you allow us. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Bless his name on tonight. Tonight, beloved people of God, we're talking from this subject, this thought. I've been back and forth with so many things, and it still may come out through the lesson, but I finally landed here. Pursuing your purpose. Pursuing your purpose. Because as we know, there's purpose. We were born with purpose. There's something in us and on us that God has ordained before the foundations of the world. And many of us, amen, we see in the natural how we're being blessed. We see in the natural with the God turning some situations around. God is changing us, our outward, our external. But I believe more important than that, the supernatural, the spirit, the spiritual, the eternal, is the things that really matter to God, because those are the things that impact the world like no other. And God is going to use your prayers. He's going to use your words. He's going to use, amen, your heart to change this world. So we thank God. As we start looking at the Apostle Paul, you can begin turning your Bibles to Acts chapter number 9. God revealed to Paul, well, let me say, Jesus revealed to the apostle, his name was Saul at the time. Jesus revealed to Saul who he was. And we're going to see how that transpires here. But when God begins to reveal things to us, begin to show things to us, begin to expose things to us, God is doing it for a greater reason than just for us to fix it. God will begin to show you why we do certain things, why we think certain ways, why we behave, or why we used to do certain things or be involved in certain things, why we still think a certain way, why we still act a certain way. God will expose not just our behavior, our emotions, our conduct, but he does that so that we can perfect our faith, that we can work out our salvation with fear and trembling. And then we're going to look at the fruit of the Spirit a little later, these things that matter to God, that he change us inside, internally, so that our outward can be a great impact on the world. And that's what he's doing with the Apostle Paul. First, he exposes himself to Paul, Acts chapter number 9, verse number 4. Let's see that. Acts chapter number 9, verse number 4. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecute. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, listen to his question. What will you have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did he drink. Not only did Jesus meet Paul on the road to Damascus, he was going to persecute more Christians. He got letters from the rulers of Rome to go and persecute the church. Paul is the one that approved. Amen. If you go back one chapter in Acts chapter number 8, Stephen, who was the first martyr of the church, Paul was right there condoning evil against the church. And he was going forth to do even more evil against the church. But God interrupted his plan. Glory to his name. Just like God has stepped in, I was doing my own thing, thinking I was right, thinking I was having fun, thinking that I just learned how to do life this way. But God had another plan. Amen, somebody. God had another plan for Anthony. God had another plan for Pastor Rebecca. And God has another plan for you. So as God began to touch us and as God began to anoint us and as God began to lead us, we got to ask those questions like Paul. Lord, what will you have me to do? I'm going to look at that a little later because there's such, not in our church, but sometimes there's such a divide that we see at large in the body of Christ. And it's never been that way because God hates discord. When you see division, that's from the devil. And God wants us to be on one accord in so many aspects of life. Yes, we're busy. We have demands on our lives. We have great responsibilities like never before. We're being pulled in so many directions. But even in that, God will give you space, give you room, and give you grace to still serve him, to still help him, to still be about your Father's business. Because God will make a way if that's in your heart and your desire. I'm not talking about preaching or the fivefold ministry gifts. I'm talking about whatever it is that God wants you to do as far as a parent, as far as a spouse, as far as an entrepreneur, if you're working in the marketplace, if you're doing civic duty, whatever it is, there's many ways that you can pursue your purpose. And let's keep reading because I want to show you how Paul, well, his name was Saul, kept saying yes to the Lord. Because we are in a battle. We are in a warfare. I don't say that to scare you. I don't say that to alarm you. But there's so many things in our Bible that says we fight not against flesh and blood. And that enemy is trying to oppose you. He's trying to disrupt the plan of God in your life. He's trying to distract you from your destiny. But we're going to see some scriptures tonight that will teach us how to stand in spite of. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And keep giving God a yes. We're going to see right here, Paul, keep giving God a yes. Because Paul, I want to show you two things that he went through, but he kept saying, yes, Lord. And that's why God used him mightily to write a great deal of the New Testament, because Paul kept saying, yes, Lord. And that's all God wants from you and I. The enemy comes, he knocks us down, he knocks us back, he sucker punches us. He comes with tests and trials and tribulations. Come on, somebody know what I'm talking about. There are storms that come, there are disappointments and discouragements. But as we pursue, that word means to go after it. That's why he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. That word pursue can be replaced with seek. Because when you're seeking something, when you're searching for something, it's not a temporary timid type thing, but you're going after that thing with all your might. Look at it. We're still in Acts chapter number 9. Look at verse number 10 now. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying. I'm going to stop right there. We're going to keep reading, but God struck him with blindness. God knocked him to the ground. He could not see. He asked God what he should do, talking to Jesus. And then we see, after 3 days of being blind, Saul is praying. My God. People of God, we must pray in these last and evil days like never before. You got to pray in the morning. You got to pray before you go to bed at night, and pray throughout the day. It don't have to be formal. It don't have to be fashion. It don't have to be religious. And you don't have to do no rituals or have to make no scene. But throughout your day, talk to God. Converse with God. Conversate with God, even inwardly. Because that's what he wants from us, relationship. That's what the word fellowship means. Fellowship means relationship. And we're having at our church on Sunday a guest preacher. And sometimes back in the day, they used to call it fellowship services. And churches want to fellowship and relate to one another and build a bond with each other. And we need to, as the body of Christ, start getting back to that, even amongst the local church. Fellowshipping with one another, getting to know one another. We're going to do food fellowships periodically throughout the year, and one purpose is to kind of get to know one another outside of just church. Amen, somebody. So we thank God for fellowship and relationship, and as we pray to God, he begins to reveal even more of our purpose and more of what he expects from us. Glory be to God. I tell you, I'm doing some things that I never thought I would be doing, but I, even in my imperfect state, even, glory be to God, I have so far to go. I read the word, I pray the word, I believe the word, because believing in God and believing God are two different things. I need to say that again. Believing in God, which many people do. Many people believe in God. Even Christians, they believe in God. No doubt about it. But believing God is a whole nother thing. Your actions are going to show that you believe God. Ha ha! Glory to his name. When the enemy strikes your body with sickness and you're walking like you're healed, you're talking like you're healed, come on. You're believing and acting like you're healed, that means you believe God. When you look at your family or look at your circumstances, look at your situation, and you're not worrying, you're not freaking out, you're not overwhelmed, glory be to God, that means you don't just believe in God, you are believing God. Hallelujah. That's why we show up every Sunday. That's why we come on Wednesday night. That's why we come to prayer on Tuesday night. Because we're showing the world and we're showing ourselves, we not only believe in God, we believe God. And God says we will prosper. God says we have the victory. God says our ladder will be greater. God says we will produce much fruit. Amen. God says we will, hallelujah, win in the end. So I believe God, and you believe God. And we're looking at Paul because he believed God. Look at verse number 12. And has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hands on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered the Lord, I have heard, oh my God, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he has done to the saints in Jerusalem. And here has authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on the name. But the Lord said unto him, go your way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, I feel God, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how much things he must suffer for my sake. Ananias said, I heard some things about this man. And some people are looking at you. They don't believe in you. They are doubting you. They are questioning, how can God use you? Or how can God, amen, use you to serve his kingdom in any capacity? But you got to know, when people doubt your walk, doubt that you will ever change, doubt that you will become a better person, when people start looking at your progress or looking at you changing, maybe it's a gradual process. Maybe it's not happening as fast as you want it to. And people will begin to tell you, see, that's what I'm talking about. You ain't changed. You're still the same. The devil is a liar. You got to know, if they're baby steps, if they're small steps, if there's a little change, you better give God praise for it. Any progress at all is praiseworthy. Oh, my God. Any progress, any advancements, any change in your behavior, you're reading scripture, you're praying more, you're laughing more, you have more joy, you have more peace, you have more direction, you have more ambition and drive. Anything that you see that is significant or small as it relates to your spiritual advancement, praise God for it. Hallelujah. Because the world, they want you to give up. They want you to go back. They want you to quit and stop, because they know God has a plan for your life. God has a serious outcome waiting for you if you keep moving forward. So Ananias, we all going to have some Ananiases along the way who don't believe in us, who will not support us, who mouth is on us by what they heard from other people about us. Come on, somebody. There's some people that heard some things about you, whether they're true or not, and they want to judge you by what they heard from somebody else. And you got to know within yourself who you are in God. Look at this. Jump down to verse number 21. Because I'm telling you, we're going to get out of Acts after this. But when you say yes to the Lord, when you keep pursuing your purpose, when you keep going after the things of God, God has ordained certain people to help you along the way. There are certain people that God has strategically put in your life and in your destiny and on your path that strategically will help you in different seasons of your walk. And we're going to see that, because they right now they're plotting to kill Paul. Look at verse number 21. We're in Acts chapter 9, verse number 21. But all that heard him were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them which called on the name in Jerusalem and came here with intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? They knew Saul's history, and they were judging him by that. But Saul, his name is still Saul, but Saul increased the more in strength, and he confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving, come on somebody, proving that this is very Christ. And after that, many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. But there laying await was known of Saul. And they watched the gates day and night that they may kill him. Look at verse number 25. Then the disciples took him by night, led him down a wall inside of a basket. Oh, my God. God will allow you to escape every trap of the devil. God will allow you to get out every situation that people think they're putting you in. Every trap that the enemy set, every plot that's against you. They were plotting to kill the Apostle Paul, still Saul. But there were certain disciples, certain people got wind of it. They got word of it. And they let Paul down a steep wall with a rope on a basket. A human man, a human being. I don't know how much Paul weighed, 180, 200 pounds. I know he had to be heavy. And I know God had to let that basket hold him as they let him down the wall. Come on. And God will strategically put people in your life to bless you and to help you. They're going to give you a job because God told them to give you the job. Hallelujah. They're going to rent you the apartment because God put it on their heart to rent you that apartment. Glory be to God. They're going to babysit for you and help for you, and they're going to babysit and help you raise those children because God placed it on their heart to help you in your time of need. Hallelujah. They're going to pick you up and take you to and from work, to and from church. They're going to pick you up and drive you around like Uber. Glory be to God. Money free. Already paid. Because God influenced their heart to help you. I have many stories of people helping me. I shared the story one time on this prayer line about Pastor and I going out on one of our first dates. And I caught not one, but two flat tires. Y'all not hearing me. I tell you, the devil busy. I tell you, Pastor said one at a time. She remembered the night she was in the car with me, and it was freezing cold in New Jersey. And I hit a pothole, boom, tire went flat. I'm out there freezing. I put the donut on the car. We got the rolling again, and bam, hit something else and got another flat tire. Now you tell me the devil ain't busy. Come on, somebody. Who gets two flat tires with two different incidents in one night? But God sent a van load full of men, and they were all Caucasian brothers, and they took me into Jersey City, a 24-hour tire shop, and they came back, and they said to me, they had to be angels unaware. They said, never forget that a van load of white guys helped you this night. They told me that before they let me out of the truck. And I never forgot it, glory be to God, that they didn't pass me by. They were angels unaware. Come on, somebody. Glory be to God. I didn't have AAA at the time. I was stranded. We were cold, and my car was stranded. And God sent these men to help me, just like he sent them to rescue Paul, just like he would send people to rescue you. Glory be to God. Wow. Let's keep reading, because Paul, as you pursue your purpose, listen to what he writes here in Philippians chapter number 3. Because Paul says some people that started out with him, there's some people that he used as examples for his disciples in the churches that he found. And he told some of his spiritual sons and daughters to listen to these men and women of God, only to have these men and women of God leave the things of God. And Paul was grieved over it. He was saddened by it that some people who started well was no longer walking with God, no longer going after the things of God, no longer going after their purpose. And it can happen to you. It can happen to me. You got to guard your heart. You got to keep your guard up because this devil is busy. And we're going to see this in Philippians chapter number 3, how Paul wept over those that turned against the cross and turned against Christ, who was on the Lord's side. They were doing great things for the kingdom. They were doing great things for God, but they turned. How many times have we seen that in the news, a great man or woman of God falling from grace? We can never think that we're above anything. We got to humble ourselves and let God raise us up daily. Let God teach us and guide us and lead us daily as we pursue our purpose. Look at Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians chapter number 3. Man, there's so much here. I'm going to read through it, but I got to start in the earlier parts because I just want you to see this, how great the Apostle Paul was. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. So I write these things to you that indeed is not grievous, but to you it is safe. He said, beware the dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of concisions. He was saying some people will change on you. Some people will be evil workers, and beware the dogs. For we are circumcision, which worship God in the spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Paul said we as Christians have to trust God, not ourselves. We have no confidence in the flesh. Verse number 4, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man think that he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised on the 8th day, stock of Israel, tribe of Benjamin, Hebrew of Hebrews, touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching righteousness, which is blameless. But the things that I call gain to me, Paul said, all that education, all that money, all that prominence and prestige I had with people, he says, those I counted loss for Christ. Yes, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all these things. He said, Jesus is the reason why I lost it all. And do not count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through grace in Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. I'm going to stop that and explain that, because we as Christians got to know why we believe what we believe. We are righteous not because we do things right, not because we stop sinning in our lives, not because we live such a holy, righteous life. We're not righteous because we are good people. The only reason you and I have been sealed and defined as righteous is because of Jesus Christ, our belief in him and what he has done. Glory to his name. You as a Christian, you as a believer, you as a son and daughter of God, you have been made righteous. And God, that's why God loved you before you can do anything. The Bible says God loved you. So you and I did not earn salvation. We did not deserve salvation. We did not merit salvation. It was given to us as a gift. Salvation is a gift from God through the grace of God. Believing in his son, Jesus Christ, you and I have been made righteous. That's why if you do something and the devil tries to condemn you, the Bible says, therefore, there is no condemnation. Why does it write that? Because you're already righteous. Amen. It doesn't mean that you have the right to sin. Get the sin out of your life, clean your life up, live holy, live right, be sanctified, consecrate yourself, come out from amongst them, don't be unequally yoked, amen, don't be entangled, glory be to God, but God is saying through the righteousness of God, you and I have been made righteous in Christ. As we pursue our purpose, we have been made righteous in Jesus Christ. Look at verse number 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable until the death, if by any means I may attain the resurrection of the dead. Now listen to what Paul is writing. Go down to verse number 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before me, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. Paul had to forget how he persecuted the church. He had to forget the things that he did in the past. He had to put the past in the past. He had to put those things behind him and forgive himself and be forgiven by God. One of the hardest things that I had to do as a believer was to let my past go, leave the past in the past, and forgive myself and let go and let God. God is saying to you and I tonight, as we pursue our purpose, let us be like the Apostle Paul, forgetting those things which are behind us. That's why we have to forgive those who have hurt us. That's why we got to let go and let God. I told you earlier, when God begins to reveal things to you, I never knew how mad I was at my dad. I never knew in my first marriage, in my previous relationships, why I had this spirit of anger. And then God began to reveal things to me, the root of why the anger was there, the root of why the behavior was there, the root of why I did certain things and thought certain ways. So as God began to reveal things to me, I had to deal with those things. Amen, somebody. And God is saying that to you. As you pursue your purpose, he wants you to be 100% ready to impact this world for his kingdom. But look and see what Paul writes in Philippians 3:18. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, he's crying, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is shame, is in their shame, who mind the earthly things. The Apostle Paul was simply saying, let us not go after the things of this world. God will give you your house. He'll give you your cars. He'll give you your success. But guess what? We can see people in the world having cars, houses, and success, and they ain't studying God. So when we get those things, yes, we're going to give God the praise for it. We're going to give God the glory for it, because God allows us to have a good life, a successful life. But the spiritual things are more important than the natural things. Let's look at Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit. He said in Deuteronomy, I'm going to give you houses that you did not build. I'm going to give you land that you did not purpose. I'm going to give you property. I'm going to give you success. I'm going to give you wealth. I'm going to give you money, gold and silver and diamonds and rubies. So those things do matter to God. That's not what I'm saying. Don't misinterpret me that we got to be so spiritual and God don't want us to have things and stuff. Yes, he wants us to have a good life. But as we look at the fruit of the Spirit, I know my personality before Jesus. As I look back, speaking from a personal standpoint, when he talks about love, joy, and peace, I did not operate in these things in a greater capacity. I think at all. As far as it was love, as far as joy, as far as peace, that's why I was in those bars drinking and getting high. There was no peace. There was no joy. That's why I was indulging in certain things. In love, there was actions, but we got to understand, love covers a multitude of sin, but your actions speak louder than your words always when it comes to this thing called love. God loves us. That's one thing that motivates me when I when I feel, you know, like I'm not doing enough for God, when I want to quit on God, when I feel inadequate or inferior or not good enough, God says, Anthony, do you love me? Going back to John, like he said to Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. And I get back to that scripture every now and again when I get low on energy, low on inspiration, low on motivation. I get back to me loving God. That's why I do what I do as a pastor. That's why I do what I do as a man of God. We all have choices daily. Amen, somebody. We all have choices to make. But if you fall in love with God, it would be so much easier to serve him. When you fall in love with God, it would be so much easier to go to church and read the Bible and to pray and to mind the things of God. When you begin to build that relationship with God, when you begin to call on God, when you begin to love him because he protects you, he provides for you, he is there to raise you up and to bring you up. And that's one reason I love God. When he began to bless me, he gave me another daughter. He gave me a good job. He gave me a great wife. He gave me wonderful children. He gave me great opportunities. And that's what God does for you, and he'll do it for me, and he'll continue to do it for us because he loves us. And he says, that's why no good thing will I withhold from them who love me. But sometimes we just got to tell the truth, not speaking to you directly. We don't see these things right here sometimes carried out even in the church. Pastor and I have had people, you know, do things or say things, and it wasn't in love. It's a, if you're going to speak the truth, it says speak it in love. If you're going to do something, don't be vindictive. Don't be vengeful. And again, not speaking to you directly, but we got to understand when people come against you, when people are trying to trap you and trying to make you fail and make you fall, you got to realize what they're operating from. So when I talk about these scriptures, it's not talking to you directly, but when you see this behavior in other people, it won't throw you off so much. It won't trip you up. Well, why did they leave the church? Or why did they treat me that way? Why did they say they cared about me and did that to me? They're operating in these things that I read in the first part of this lesson. It's not personal. The enemy works through people. The enemy uses people to get to those that God loves. And in this world, as you look around, oh my God, so many people going through on the job. So many people going through sometimes in family. So many people going through in certain neighborhoods because we have to coexist with this world and we got to be ready for it. So when you see certain behaviors, you know how to pray. When you see certain things, it won't throw you off too much. God will tell you, okay, you know what that's coming from. Pray that I remove that root. Pray that I destroy that demon. We was on First Street, and when we first got there, when we was in Elizabeth, and I'm going to read Galatians 5:22, there used to be people sitting right on the doorstep of the church, well, to the building right next to the church. And the first few weeks there was a guy who used to walk the block, and he made sure I heard him. He said, this is my block. This is my block. And I was like, wow. You know, he just saying that out loud, or he's saying that so I can hear him. And slowly but surely, as we prayed in that neighborhood, people started to help me and Pastor Rebecca. They'd be blasting the music, and as soon as we put the gates up to go have midweek service, they turned down the music because we knew we made friends with the guy who was kind of the ringleader. He loved us, came into the church. There was another guy that owned the candy store in the corner. They visited the church periodically. There was people from the neighborhood that came into the church, and we started to get and gain the respect from the community because we were about the things of God. Not coming trying to shine, not coming trying to be the hero, not trying to come to rescue anybody, just being about Jesus' business. And we gained the respect from the community because of it. Amen. And that's why when you see the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, that's capital S, the Holy Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Holy Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another and envying one another. Sometimes, you know, through Facebook, I was telling my wife the other day, we never had a generation where we can see so many people doing so many things. We see what people are doing, what they're not doing, what they're buying, what they're wearing, what they're involved in, where they're going, through Facebook, through social media. And sometimes that can allow you to compete or to compare or to be in competition with or to feel inferior to. And we got to understand, even as I read the last verse, not to be jealous or envious of anybody or anything. Try not to compare yourself to anybody. Be the best you possible. Amen, somebody. Compete against you. I always look at myself and I say, I know I can be a better Anthony. If I lose my temper, if I'm falling, you know, into things that are not spiritual, you know, not reading my word, not praying like God telling me to pray. Because they're called disciples, and we are called disciples because that means we have certain disciplines in our lives. Amen. And there's certain disciplines that you will develop that will destroy the debt in your life. Glory be to God. I said there are disciplines that you can develop that would destroy debt in your life. When God gave me my wife, I told you I ended up on my mother's floor because I was not good handling money. I always had a good job, but I did not handle my money very well. And then God gave me a wife who had discipline in money. She had good money management skills. She had disciplines on how to budget. Pastor Rebecca was about to buy a house by herself as a single woman. Come on, somebody. Before she met me, that's to all the single ladies out there. All the single ladies. No, but listen, all seriousness, you can be single until he sing you that husband, until he sing you that perfect guy. She was already ready to go back to going to college. She already enrolled in Rutgers. She already was ready to go back to school. Glory be to God. And when we started dating, she was enrolled at Rutgers North. She was already ready to buy a house, getting her credit in order. She already had her visions on home ownership by herself as a single woman. So when we got together, she said, bring me all your change. You know, let's bring in the spending. Let's get more serious about cleaning up our credit and bringing our money matters under order. And we began to look at money more seriously because we were disciples. We were becoming disciplined. And as you become a disciple of Jesus Christ, learning his word, he'll even eliminate the drama in your life. Come on, somebody. I tell you, this is our second and final marriage. But you got to realize, we had a blended family. And there were times where our sons had to go to another household. Our sons were being raised up sort of in two different households, mainly our household. But there were certain things that we had to deal with along the way. And God will sometimes give you wisdom and give you godly insight on how to manage and how to do certain things. When we become disciplines and disciples, we become functional instead of dysfunctional. Also, it has the ability to destroy discouragement. But the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, those are the things he wants us to increase in. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, as we pursue our purpose, there is a treasure in you. This is why we got to pursue our purpose. There's some things in you that God wants to come out of you before you meet him. And watch what the Apostle Paul writes to the church at Corinth. Woo! Right here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. Look at verse number 1. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, verse number 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, or we don't quit. Verse number 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are still lost, and whom the God of this world have blinded the minds of them which believe not. That used to be me, and that used to be you. And it's still those who don't believe in Jesus Christ yet. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Verse number 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of ourselves. As you pursue your purpose, look what might happen in verse number 8. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. We may be cast down, but we are not destroyed. Come on, somebody. Glory be to God. As you pursue your purpose, you're going to church, you're going to Bible study, you're going to work, you're going back to school, you're minding the things of God, you're bettering yourself and your family, you're pursuing the spirit of excellence. He said, we are troubled on every side. We are perplexed. Things are happening that we don't want to happen. We're trying to be destroyed and cast down by the devil, but he can't destroy us. No weapon, are you hearing God, formed against you will prosper. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Because as you pursue your purpose, the treasure in you will start to come out of you. The diamonds, the gold, the silver, the rubies, all the valuable things that's on the inside of you will start to come out of you. As you love your spouse, as you love your children, as you love your church, as you love your ministry, as you love the things of God, God will start to pull stuff out of you. You'll become a helper. You'll become a server. You'll become a steward. You'll become a manager. You'll become a supervisor, because God begins to pull greatness out of you. He'll begin to pull skills out of you that you did not know was in there. He'll pull talents and abilities out of you that you never knew you had. He'll begin to allow you to talk better, to think better, to do better, to believe better. Oh, glory be to God. That's the God that we serve. As you pursue your purpose, God will begin to disclose to you, will begin to expose to you the real you. Who is that for? We're going to keep reading, because the real you, as he closed out this chapter, there's a real you. The you that the devil don't want to get out. The you that the devil don't want you to see. The real you that God ordained before you was in your mother's belly. Before you was in your mother's womb, he already developed good works in advance for you. I said there's a blessing out there with your name on it. There are blessings ahead of you with your name on it. Amen. So when you move forward by faith, sometimes you're looking at what you have, you're looking at where you are, and you're like, God, I just don't see it. God, I just can't believe it. God, I just don't know how it's going to happen. That's okay. Just keep moving forward by faith. I looked at a post that my sister-in-law, Jackie Bowie, she lives in Florida, and she posted today a quote from Dr. Martin Luther King, and it blessed me as I went to work today. Dr. King quoted, I'm going to try to quote it because I didn't write it down, but I thought I would memorize it. He said, if you can't fly, run. If you can't run, walk. If you can't walk, crawl. If you can't crawl, keep moving. It goes something like that. He said, whatever you do, don't stop. I know I messed the quote all up. But Dr. Martin Luther King said, if you can't fly, run. If you can't run, walk. If you can't walk, crawl. If you can't crawl, do anything but stop. And that's for you and that's for me. If the enemy has got us to a crawl, as long as you keep moving, God will bless you. 2 Corinthians, we're still in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Look at what they say about believing. Because right believing bring right blessings into our lives. I need to say that one more time, even for me. Right believing bring the right blessings into our lives. Verse 13 says, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore we speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, shall present us with you. Verse 16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction is but for a moment. It works for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory, while we look at the things which are seen. For we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are not seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Sometimes you can't go by your natural eyes. If you got 20/20 vision, if you wear eyeglasses or contacts, God is saying don't go by your natural sight anyway. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Because he said our light affliction is but for a moment. That trouble you find yourself in right now is only for a moment. Come on, somebody. That pain that you're in right now is only for a moment. That suffering, oh, glory be to God. That torment that you may be in right now, that storm that you find yourself in right now is only for a moment. It's a light affliction, Paul says. He says, though our outward man perish, I'm 56 years old this year. We can't do nothing about aging. But glory be to God. If you're in your 20s, don't waste your 20s. Be about your Father's business. If you're in your 30s or 40s, don't waste no more years. Don't waste no more time. If you're in your 50s or 60s or 70s, glory be to God. Number your days and use them wisely. He said, though our outward man perish, that means we're getting older by the minute. Like Pastor said on Sunday, as soon as you said to pass, it already passed. Glory be to God. Time waits for nobody. In the name of Jesus. But I just want to say this. He said, don't look at the things that are temporary. Look at the things that are eternal. Amen. Glory be to God. Our weapons, they're not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Let's close out today in Ephesians 6. And write down in your Bibles, I'm not going to go there, but 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1 to 6. Because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. It was my intent to go there tonight, but we're going to close out in Ephesians instead. Ephesians chapter number 6. Because as you pursue your purpose, again, ain't nobody mad but the devil, that you're going after the things of God. And he's going to try to stop you. He's going to try to oppose you. He's going to try to get you to give up and quit on God. But let's look at Ephesians chapter number 6, verse number 10. And we'll close out here. I got a few minutes left. In the name of Jesus. Ephesians 6, verse 10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. Hold up, I misread something. Oh, no, I didn't. No, I didn't. I'm going to start again. Ephesians 6, 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. That's what we're talking about tonight, standing as you pursue your purpose in God. You may be able to stand against the wiles or the schemes or the strategies of the devil. Verse number 12 is what I really want you to get a hold of tonight. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That's it, meaning people. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, number one. Against powers, number two. Against the rulers of darkness of this world, that's number three. Against spiritual wickedness in high places, that's number four. We're going to go back to that in a minute. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand until. Therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, hear God tonight. Above all, Paul writes, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit. I'm not going to get into that tonight, but don't be afraid of a heavenly language. Don't be afraid of the gift of other tongues. Whether you speak in a heavenly language or tongues today, even if you don't understand it, don't be afraid of it. Embrace it. Amen? Amen. Because God will allow you, if you have that desire, or if you even develop the desire, the development of the desire will come, first of all, for you not being afraid of it. Don't be spooked by it. Don't think it's too mysterious or mystical or spooky. There's nothing about our tongues or heavenly language that's evil. It can only help you. Don't be intimidated by it. Don't be afraid of it. Amen? Desire a heavenly language. Desire other tongues. And God will give it to you if you want it. But he says, pray in the Spirit always. Take the helmet of salvation. Glory be to God. That helmet will guard your mind. Take the sword, which is the word. That's what we're fighting with tonight. We do have a weapon. It's called the word. Come on, somebody. That's our weapon. That's the sword. He says, put on a breastplate of righteousness, that thing that guards your heart. But the shield of faith. Faith is a shield. Faith will protect us from the darts and the bullets and the weapons of the enemy. But look at this. We fight not against flesh and blood. Your battle is not against your boss. Your battle is not against your supervisor. Your battle is not against your coworker. Your battle is not against your hater or your enemy. Your battle is not against that person that's against you. We fight not against flesh and blood. Principality. I wish I had time to get into that. But that is a governing spirit. That is a territorial demon. That's one that territorial. He wants property. He is fighting for property. He is fighting for territory. Your family, your property, your money. Amen, somebody. The things that you own. He wants territory. God is fighting for territory, and so is the devil. Against powers. That's those demons, demonic forces. Powers, the invisible things that we can't see. Against rulers in dark places. There's darkness in high places, beloved. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. Against the rulers of darkness in high places. I'm not going to get into that tonight because I want to get to this. Doing all you can do to stand until. He said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And I'm going to close right there. when you find yourself getting weak, weary, and worn out as you pursue your purpose, lean on Jesus. Go to Jesus. Say, Jesus, I'm weak. I'm worn out. I'm weary. I'm overwhelmed. I'm burnt out. I'm tired. Go to Jesus with those prayers, and he will give you strength. He will renew your strength. They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not get weary. They will walk and not faint. Be strong in Jesus as you pursue your purpose, as you chase after purpose. Be strong in Jesus. Father, I thank you tonight. We want you to continue to reveal our purpose to us. Even New Creation Church, God, we have a vision, we have a purpose, we have a mission statement that we still want to fulfill during our time on earth. Send the workers, send the laborers, send those, God, that will get behind the vision that you have given us as a church to impact this community. We thank you in advance for those that will join the church, those that will connect with us, those that will partner with us as we do the work of the ministry. So we give you praise for those you're sending from the north, south, the east, and west. And God, those listening to us tonight, bless them. Open doors that no man can shut. Give them the jobs. Give them the careers that they're searching after. Give them the home. If they want to be homeowner, God, homeowners, Lord, make a way. If they want to be business owners, Lord, make a way. If they want to go back to school, Lord, make a way. If they want to be married and raise a family, make a way, God. If they want to move and relocate, make a way in Jesus' name. So, God, I thank you and I praise you. And I bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. We thank God for you. Please sow a seed if you're not in this local area. For those who are local, we believe that you are tithing. We believe that you're sowing into the ministry on a weekly basis, because we need work to do the ministry, the work of the Lord. And I thank you for your faithful giving. Those of you who are members, those of you who give on a regular basis, we thank God for you. If we don't say thank you too often, we're thanking you tonight, because Pastor Rebecca and I appreciate you as you continue to give into this church, because we are doing the work of the Lord. And those of you that were sold through the Cash App, were sold through the website, were sold through the P.O. Box, whatever way you want to sow, we thank you in advance. $20, $50, $100, $10. No amount is too small, no amount is too big. $1,000. Whatever you want to help the ministry with, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So we will be here on Sunday at 1482 Maple Avenue, Hillside, New Jersey. We have a guest preacher on Sunday. We're going to have a fellowship service. Well, actually, not a fellowship service. It's a guest preacher. Pastor Holmes out of Jersey City, New Jersey, a powerful word, we believe, from the Lord that's in her mouth. So bring somebody to church with you on Sunday. We're starting at 12:30 sharp, and we're going to have a great time in the Lord. Amen. Pastor Rebecca and I, we have a very brief announcement. We are flying to Florida on Sunday after church. Glory be to God. Yes, Pastor Rebecca and Pastor Anthony, along with our daughter Kayla, we're flying to sunny Florida. I say that prophetically. Sunny Florida, here we come. We are having church on Sunday, and we will be press your way out. We will be in church on Sunday. Let me make that clear. We need to see everybody on Sunday in church. Our flight is Sunday night. We will be in church on Sunday. Please hear me. Don't go, Pastor, not going to be there. I ain't going. No, we will be there. And we will have our regular service starting at 12:30. But next week, Tuesday prayer and Wednesday midweek service will be canceled, because we will be in Florida and we will not be doing both of those events on next Tuesday and next Wednesday. So I had to announce it tonight. We meant to announce it last night, so if you can get the word out. We will send a broadcast, though, to remind you on next week that it is postponed until the following week after the 4th of July holiday. But for the 4th of July, we are going on vacation to Florida, and we are happy about that. We will be away for the holiday in Jesus' name. So pray us traveling mercies as we travel to see Pastor Rebecca's mom in Florida and see family. It's going to be a great time. And we do need a vacation, and I thank God for it. Amen. We love you. Good night, everyone. God bless you. Love you. We will see all of you who are local. Please press your way and be in church on Sunday. I know we have different things going on, but please press your way to be in church on Sunday. Everybody, bring somebody with you. Pastor Rebecca's in my ear. She said, we need to see everybody on Sunday. Everybody on Sunday. We need to see everybody on Sunday, 12:30. God bless you. Good night, everyone. God bless.